obviously invited, so call me back.
Okay, I love you. Bye.
What's up, you guys, and welcome back to Emotionally Online, the show for spilling guts and sharing secrets, hosted by yours truly, the one and only Maddie Drosbeck. And today, it's a rainy day in New York. We're getting cozy, we're getting comfy, and we're talking about what's been in our hearts this week. I've literally been talking to myself all day, just because I'm excited to do the podcast. And I was like, I had so many other things I had to do this morning before I could film, but I was like, I had so much on my heart that I just needed to talk about. So I've already been talking to myself all day long, so that's how you know it's going to be a banger of an episode. Before we get started here, as you are watching this episode, right when this episode comes out, we are 2 hours away from the launch of the Spain trip. We're going to Spain, June 2024, baby. Tickets for said trip go on sale today, the day that this episode comes out, at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can find all the information about the trip, the cost, what's included, everything you will ever need to know on the community tab of either of my YouTube channels or on the Travel With Me saved highlight on my Instagram. I did a bunch of question and answers. The information is in each of those three places if you have no idea what I'm talking about. But tickets go live 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is your official reminder. Get in there. Secure your spot. We're going to fucking Spain. We're going to fucking Spain. It's going to be so much fun. So get in there if you're interested. Also, if you're watching the YouTube version, you might be looking at me thinking, oh my God, she looks so beautiful and gorgeous in her perfect purple sweat set. This is the Emotionally Online sweat set, baby, available at shopmaddiedrosbeck.com. Get one while they're hot, and they will always be hot. Okay, let's be clear on that. So I just got back from a little lake house weekend with the besties. I rented a lake house up in the Finger Lakes with some of my best friends. I went with my best friend Ashley, who you guys know her for sure. She's been on the pod before, and I talk about her all the time. Best friend since we were like 7 years old. And then my best friend Ellie, who is my best friend from college. And then my other best friend Mika, who is Ashley's best friend from college. So it was me and Ashley and both of our college best friends. And Mika and Ellie were meeting for the first time on this trip. And it was beautiful. It was beautiful and wonderful. And we had such an amazing time just hanging out, going to different wineries, having a little heart-to-heart, and smoking weed a little bit. I've been dibbling and dabbling in the weed. You know, we've been seeing what's going on. We've been seeing what's up. I historically have not enjoyed weed. In college, I really didn't like it because I would have a panic attack every single time. It makes me anxious. And there were many scenarios where I would smoke and I would go mute and I'd be like silent on the outside, could not speak. But then I'd be inside my brain being like, having a full-blown panic attack. Thought, talking. But then I can't say any of it. I'm just like, it's silent, can't speak. And anyways, I've been trying out smoking and weed in general a little bit more now that I'm a little older and just wanted to see if I would have a different reaction with it or, I don't know, just experimenting with it. And I talked about when I first smoked weed in this section of life a few months ago. It was like end of April, early May when I first tried it, and I just smoked in my apartment and watched Succession. And I had a pretty similar experience to the ones I had in college in that my brain turned off. Head empty, no thoughts. I didn't have a panic attack, and I think I learned through that I think it's because I was alone. Because when my head goes empty like that and I have no thoughts and I feel like I'm just in a trance, I'm in a constant daydream, like I'm zoning out and I can't zone in. That's what it feels like for me. When I'm by myself and that's happening, it's fine. It's not enjoyable or relaxing to me necessarily, because relaxing to me would be watching my TV show and being able to remember and enjoy the TV show. In that state, I didn't remember any of what I watched, and I also just felt like I might as well have just been asleep, right? Like I was a vegetable. This is what I feel like weed does to me. It just makes me the most boring, like, person on the planet. I can't contribute anything. There are no thoughts going on up here. But I feel like the panic attack part for me comes in when I'm in that state of not being able to contribute or speak and I'm with other people. When I'm alone, it's fine. It's not preferable. It's not enjoyable, but it's fine. I'm not going to have a panic attack about it because I'm by myself. I'm just going to go to bed. I don't know. It's like, who cares? But when I'm in a group of other people and I feel that way, I'm in my head being like, oh my God, I haven't spoken in the last 20 minutes. What if these people think I'm being so mean because I'm not talking? What if they think I'm boring? What if they think I'm mad? What if they think that I'm upset and I'm not upset? I don't have thoughts right now. I have no thoughts. On top of the fact that it's also a little unsettling to me to not have thoughts. I love my thoughts. I like having them. I like the voice inside my head. She's very comforting to me. I like her. Okay, I like having thoughts 24/7. I like the voice inside my head. I like hearing my own voice. When it goes off, that's when I start to stress out. Like weed for me, I've had the opposite of experience of what everyone else says. Everyone else is like, I smoke weed and I feel so relaxed. I'm like, I smoke weed and I feel like I need to go to bed immediately or else I'm gonna freak the fuck out. So anyways, I tried it in April or May or whenever that was. And there's been a few instances since then where I've tried it. I smoked with my friend Kayla on the roof. And that was fine. We were like listening to music. I also couldn't contribute. I just got quiet and I don't know, felt like it was time for me to go to bed. And then I did edibles when I was in Maine with my friends and all of them were feeling it and I wasn't. And I was like, what the fuck? We did five milligrams the first night and then like 7.5 the second. And I didn't feel it either time. And everyone else was like, oh, I feel it. I was like, what the hell is going on? Because I don't feel anything right now. And so now the lake house is like the fourth time that I'm trying it in recent times. And we smoked on the first night and I felt like I was fine with the smoking. I didn't really smoke that much, to be fair. I felt like I was totally fine that first night. And then we did edibles the next day. And we took them in the middle of the day. And it took a while for it to hit me. But when it hit me, I was so aware that I had nothing to say. I had nothing to say. And it's not fun. I like having things to say. So I don't know. It feels very hit or miss for me where it's like, okay, sometimes it's fun, but other times it's like the worst thing ever or not the worst thing ever. I'm not going to be dramatic, but it's not fun for me. I would rather be sober. I would rather not do any of it, you know, like even when it is good, when it is enjoyable, it's not fun enough for me to prefer it over just not doing it at all. So I don't know. It's been a fun experiment, I guess, a noble effort, but I just don't think it's for me. But I'm glad I've tried it again and I've given it a good old-fashioned try. I don't know. I think I'm too type A. I like my thoughts. I like being in full control. I don't need to relax. I like being plugged in 24/7. I don't want my brain to turn off, okay? Dear God, I need my brain to function. Desperately. But the Lake House weekend was super fun. It was definitely much needed. I had a good cry with the besties, which was just what the doctor ordered. I love crying deeply, honestly, and truly. And that's really what I wanted to talk about today is the beef that I have with people that have beef with crying. Because I can't stop thinking about it this week. But I'll tell you the full story of how this, I don't know, topic sort of came about being on the top of my brain. But so when I was at the lake house, had a good cry with the besties. This cry was brought on because of a video that I saw online that just upset me. I saw something online that I didn't like and I cried about it. I think it just like it triggered me a little bit. It made me upset that anyone would say something like that. And I just, it sucked. I hated it. I'm not going to say exactly what they were saying because I just think it's unhelpful and I don't want to make anyone else feel bad by sharing exactly what this said. I'll tell you the gist of it. But I don't think the specifics are necessary for you to get the point of what I'm going to talk about. Basically, this was a video of someone talking about dating while being plus size, but they were saying some very mean and upsetting and categorically untrue things. And when I first saw the video, it really upset me because I was like, this sucks. And also this is untrue. And it makes me really sad that there are people out there that are feeling badly about themselves that are going to watch this and be like reinforced in some of their beliefs that they may hold about their desirability or their worthiness. And that just makes me upset because it's not true. And I hate to see people reinforce stupid bullshit like that. It's angering and it's very upsetting. And so my immediate reaction was that. And then I think as I sat in it, I saw this video like in the morning and I went about my day. And as I sat in it, it's like I have the immediate reaction of like, that's wrong and I disagree with it and it's untrue. But just because you know something's wrong and you disagree with it and it's untrue, it doesn't make it not hurtful or not sting a little bit, especially when you've had some type of past or history of insecurities in this department of things. And obviously I talk about dating all the time. I've talked about many things I've struggled with in this department and like, you know, mental health wise, how dating and my body and all of these things intersect. I can't possibly summarize all of it, right? I've talked about it in many, many podcast episodes, many videos, but I think it triggered me a little bit and it just made me upset. And I found myself thinking about it for the rest of the day. And I ended up having a good cry about it to my friends and just letting myself get it all out, get all the feelings out. And it's something that I brought up in therapy the other day. And I was telling her about how I sometimes feel like I don't know how to sit in the middle between acknowledging the ways in which my experience in a plus size body impacts the way that I date while also not letting that turn into something nasty. And I was saying that I don't feel that I always do a good job at acknowledging the ways my body impacts my dating life while not letting that acknowledgement turn into like a, and because of that, you are not as desirable or worthy of love. Sometimes I feel like it's hard to acknowledge one without letting it slip into the other, to take the acknowledgement and turn it into something like a lot more sinister. And I said all this, and my therapist was like, I hear you, but also, I don't feel that you've ever not been balancing it. And I was like, tell me more. And she was like, the entire time I've known you, I feel like you always are sitting in the middle of that, of acknowledging the ways in which your body shapes your experiences and your specifically how your body shapes your experiences in dating. This is something you talk about all the time and you do a great job of sitting in the middle with it. And I was like sitting, listening to her talk and telling me that I was actually already doing the very thing that I said I wish I could do. And I was listening to her explain it back to me. And I was like, well, she's actually completely right. I do sit in this all the time. I do sit in the middle. I do acknowledge the ways in which my body impacts the way that I date, the way I see the world, all of these things. I do acknowledge all of that. And I also do it without shitting on myself. So I don't know why I felt that way. And I was sitting being like, why did I think I wasn't doing that? Why did I think that I was having a hard time, you know, sitting in the middle between acknowledgement and not being a fucking hater towards myself? And I think the reason why I felt that way was because the anti-crybaby bitches of the world have gotten inside my head. They got inside my head somehow. I don't know. I think lately I've been seeing so much. This is sort of like a side tangent, but I'm going to circle it back. Don't worry. But I feel like I've been seeing so much content online recently. A lot of it is like attachment style content. People will make like videos talking from like the secure person's perspective and the anxious person's perspective, avoidance, whatever. And a lot of times when people are speaking from the perspective of somebody who's securely attached, and you know, they go through this conversation, they show how the anxious partner has more of like a taking it personal kind of reaction than the secure partner does. And the secure partner is always like, thank you for telling me. Now I can move on and choose things that also choose me. And I wish you the best and farewell. And it's like always the most like manicured and measured response, which is like, oh, well, moving on then. And I hate those videos so much because I'm like, that's not a human reaction to me. And also, I hate the idea that in order to be securely attached, you need to just not have emotional reactions. That's dumb. And it's also not true. I'm like, you can be securely attached and also go through something upsetting and be upset about it. You can be upset about things while also not necessarily taking them truly deeply to heart. You know, like I can be upset about this video that I saw online while also being like, but I'm not going to take what they say as an indicator of my worthiness or ability to be loved. And I don't know. I think I've just found it frustrating sometimes being someone who is very emotional and is very sensitive and does cry a lot and fairly easily. I think it's frustrating to me being seen as fragile because I am emotional, I am sensitive, but I am not fragile. I am very strong, but I process outward. The way that I process is very on display. It's physical. I talk about things. I cry it out. I tell my friends. There is nothing that I keep to myself. When I'm going through something, when I'm processing something, when I'm upset by something, I need to share it. I need to talk about it. I need to be with my therapist. I need to be with my friends. I need to talk it out. I need to cry it out. I need to get it out. Not everyone's like that. Some people are more internal, but I hate the idea that like, because you're a more emotional or sensitive person, that you are more fragile or you're more anxious, you're less secure, whatever it is, whatever context we're talking about this in. And so I think when I was talking to my therapist and I was thinking that I wasn't doing a good job of sitting in the middle, the reason why I didn't think I was doing a good job of sitting in the middle is because I was crying. And I was like, well, clearly I'm so upset by this. So how am I doing a good job of sitting in the middle if I'm crying? And as I'm hearing myself talk to myself and say this, I'm like, oh, you bitch, you let them get in your head and convince you that crying is a bad thing. And so as I was talking to my therapist and I was saying that I felt like I had a hard time sitting in the in-between area between acknowledging how my experience in a plus-size body impacts the way that I date and not letting it turn into like a doomsday spiral about my ability to be loved, how to acknowledge how my body impacts the way that I date and how the way that I date may be different than the way my thin friends experience dating, while not letting that turn into like a larger criticism on who I am, or just into something mean when it doesn't have to be. Like how to acknowledge the reality of the world without letting it make you feel like the worst person ever, you know? And the reason why I felt like I wasn't doing a good job was because I was crying, was because I was upset. And these demons on the internet, they weaseled into my brain. And for a moment there, they had me convinced that crying was a bad thing. Nay, nay, absolutely not, babes. I really feel such the opposite, but it is crazy how you can, in a moment, even when you are someone like me that believes that crying is like such a release and it's so necessary to my processing, and I'm able to feel hurt and feel sadness and honor those emotions and let them wash over me, let myself cry while also not letting that be like a larger indication of like, am I letting this random video on the internet impact my self-worth? No, of course not. I disagree with everything they said, but it's still upsetting to me that they said it, and I'm allowed to have an emotional response to that without it being like doomsday. You know what I mean? And I don't think I was giving myself credit for that. I think my immediate reaction was like, well, you are crying, so clearly it is doomsday. No, you're allowed to cry. You're allowed to have an emotional reaction. And I just thought it was crazy. Even me, the girl who has a podcast called Emotionally Online, was sitting there like sort of punishing myself for crying. It's just crazy how easy it is, because it does feel like it's sort of enforced that you should be like stoic or more measured, or, you know, if you're going to let something roll off your shoulders. I'm using the example of like the secure and anxious attachment thing, just because it was at the top of my mind, because I've seen so many videos like that recently. But it's like this like manicured version of a person who's like securely attached and doesn't let anything impact them. And they also have this stoic and measured response to everything. Something emotional happens and they're like, oh, well, I guess it wasn't for me then. Moving on with my life. And it's like, that's not how people work. Nobody operates like that. You can have a like healthy emotional response to things. It's still an emotional response. You know what I mean? And, anyways, I think we just need to bring back crying. I think we need to bring it back in a major way. Crying is in this year. Wasn't that the name of the first podcast episode I did this year? Oh my God. Faux circa moment, vibes. 6 months ago, I was saying this. We just needed a reminder. We needed a reminder right in here on this day. The crying is in this year. And we're crying and we're letting our feelings out. And it is a beautiful, wonderful thing. Okay? This is just a shout out to everyone who wears their heart on their damn sleeve, which is crazy because I'm getting a heart on my sleeve tattoo in a week. The timing on this, guys, is just crazy. It's crazy out here. All right. I need everyone that is single, living alone, and not using all of their fresh produce before it goes bad every week to raise their hands loud and proud, people, because you, similar to myself, could be a great candidate for HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get farm-fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. You can skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy. On top of the fact that I live alone and I'm only cooking for one person, and that can be difficult to sometimes portion out and use all of my ingredients before they go bad, I'm also just not a good cook. So that's contributing here as well. And that is just another reason why I love HelloFresh, because they're giving you everything, pre-portioned ingredients for all the recipes you're doing every week. So it'd be really difficult to mess it up. It'd be supremely hard. You'd have to try to mess it up, really. These recipes are basically foolproof, and they will give you enough servings to have your dinner and also have some leftovers the next day as well. With 40 recipes to choose from each week, there's always something new to try out on HelloFresh. And when you go to HelloFresh.com/50emotionallyonline and use code 50emotionallyonline, you can get 50% off your order plus free shipping. That is HelloFresh.com/50emotionallyonline and use code 50emotionallyonline for 50% off plus free shipping. So anyways, without further ado, my leg is falling asleep because Mango is looking oh so friggin' cute. She's like hugging my thigh right now. But yeah, my leg is falling asleep. I really do need to stretch it out, but I don't want to disturb her. So instead, we're going to get into some audience submissions. If you don't know, there is an audience submission box where you can submit your requests for advice, the drama, the goings-ons of your life. Anything that you want to share at the sleepover, feel free. I will read them out, a few of them every week anonymously on the show, and give you my 2 cents, give you my input. We'll have an open conversation here. What's said at the sleepover stays at the sleepover. Hi Maddie, I have been listening to and watching your content for about 2 years and I love all of it. It makes me happy and gives me a great sense of comfort. I love that. Thank you very much. Recently, my fiance and partner of 6 years left me out of the blue. He met someone else and decided that he wanted to pursue a relationship with her. It caught me so off guard because I thought we were entirely committed to each other. I feel like I've been tossed out like trash and that he kind of led me on, because if he was willing to leave me at the drop of a hat, then he must not have been very serious about me in the first place. For some extra context, amongst his other appalling reasons for leaving me, he cited feeling like my ideas about feminism were too intense for him and that he thought I was too much in general. Oh, bitch. I got so much to say already. He wants someone more passive who will be willing to raise his children while he goes off and pursues his career. I hate this guy. I met him when I was only 19, and I'm feeling like maybe I ignored some seriously red flags regarding his opinion of women and their role in his life. While I realize he was actually a bit of a dick and not the kind of man I want to offer any of myself to, I think I'm grieving the life I imagined we would have together, and I'm having a hard time conceptualizing my life without him. I know I need to take some time before I jump back into dating, but at the same time, I hate the thought of being alone, and frankly, my sense of self-worth has been shattered. I would love your thoughts and or advice on how to be okay with living and being alone, with keeping myself company and finding meaning and fulfillment in my own life in a way that isn't tied to my relationship with another person. First of all, I just want to start by saying I'm so sorry this happened to you. That is so deeply hurtful and upsetting to be left in such a cruel way by someone you were so committed to and really saw a long-term future with. That sucks, and that's really hard. I can't imagine what that feels like. Saying you don't want to be with someone because they have their feminist views are too much and you want a woman that's more passive is like fucking insane. That's ridiculous. It's 2023. What the fuck is going on? And I think we can all have the reaction of like, that's insane. That's like unbelievable that anyone would say that to you. And it seems like you're having that reaction as well. But it's also hard to be having that reaction and also having to sit with like, who is this person, right? Like, I've been with this person for 6 years and suddenly I don't recognize them, or I missed this part of them. And now you feel like you're sort of starting from square one again. And I think even if you're able to acknowledge that, like, this behavior sucks and this isn't the type of person you'd want to be with, that's not going to make it hurt less, right? Like, this is the end of a relationship that you wanted to work, that you had hopes could work, that you were moving towards marriage with. You are going to have to grieve the visions of the life you thought you were going to have with this person. I think I would just try to remind yourself that just because the like visions of love and a future that you imagined with this person aren't going to happen with this person, and thank God they're not, as we've discovered, that doesn't mean you're not going to have that life and that love and that future with someone else. And someone that's better suited to you, that doesn't think that your feminist viewpoints are too much and doesn't want you to be a passive side character in their life, that wants you to live a full and complete life on your own, that wants to support you and make you feel loved and celebrated and do life alongside you rather than viewing women as some kind of, you know, subservient extra in his grand, you know, multi-million motion picture film that's going on. He's the main character and you're just here, I guess. This life that you have imagined with him, just because it's not happening with him doesn't mean it's not happening. And I get, while you're processing that pain of like, this thing that I wanted so badly is over, this thing that I wished for so badly is over, and I get why the immediate sort of reaction there is to want to jump into another relationship, because it would be easier to like cover up one thing with another thing and be like, okay, well, this didn't work, but now this one is. So who cares about the thing that didn't work? And I hear it and I get it. But also, I think that you need time alone. It's so painful to let go of something that you really wanted to happen or really thought was going to happen, this love that you wanted. And it's a really painful thing to sit in and process. And yeah, it would be a lot easier if instead of sitting in it and processing it, we could just throw on a Band-Aid of a brand new relationship. So just because this one love wasn't going to work out, now we can just, you know, just transfer over all of those wants and those desires to a brand new relationship. But ultimately, I think it's a Band-Aid solution that will eventually, you know, burst open at some point. Anyways, I think you need to take time and space to heal from something like this, being with someone for so long, experiencing this kind of betrayal, of being left, and also being left in a manner where, like, you're discovering that the person you were with is not the person you thought they were. You're going to need time and space to heal from that. And your focus should be on yourself in this time and not on finding love. I get it though, because it's hard. It's hard as fuck to sit in those feelings, but ultimately I do think it's for the best. I think I would try to remind yourself here that just because you are single doesn't mean you are alone. You can have a vibrant, loving, supportive life full of people in your community, your friends, your family, your coworkers, whoever. There are so many people out there that love you and that are there to add so much sweetness and goodness to your life that are not romantic partners. Just because we're not in a relationship doesn't mean we don't have those things. We do. And I think that right now, you really need to lean on those people in your life. Lean on your friends. Lean on your family. Make plans with them often. Open up to them. Let them in and let them be there for you in this time. I wouldn't jump to trying to make yourself love alone time and being alone if that's not where you're at right now. You are in pain and you need people and you need community to remind you that because you are single doesn't mean you're alone. Doesn't mean you're going through this life alone. It will take some time, but I think you will eventually get to a point where you feel excited to focus on yourself, to spend time with yourself, where maybe it doesn't feel so difficult to be alone, and instead it feels like an opportunity to get closer to yourself, to get closer to, you know, who is this future partner, this future love that's still out there that you haven't met yet? How fucking exciting is that? That you have someone to look forward to. And what are they like? The person that is going to be supportive and cheering for you and wanting you to be as opinionated and loud and too much as possible because they love you and want you to be true to who you are. They love every part of you. This person that makes you feel totally and completely accepted and loved. Like, yes, it's sad to mourn the loss of, you know, what once was, what could have been, something that you hoped was, you know, something different than it was. We can mourn that loss. We can lean on our community. We can spend time getting closer to ourselves in this process, and also leave room for excitement of, like, listen, it's not all bad, because this thing that wasn't right for us, it's gone now. And that's upsetting, but also it's now leaving room for us to be excited for something even greater that's coming towards us. Hi, Maddie. First, want to say that I've been watching you for a couple of years now, and I really appreciate your content. I wanted to know your thoughts on a recent situation with my boyfriend, as you've talked about similar topics in the past. Basically, my boyfriend follows and watches a lot of sex work / thirst trap content. Not to an extreme amount, so it's nothing I've had much of a problem with in the past. However, what I have noticed is that he consumes virtually zero women-made content outside of this sphere. When confronted with this, he says that he's tried to watch other female creators and just doesn't enjoy their content. Ugh. This is leading me to believe that he doesn't value women past the superficial, and it's giving me a red flag. However, I'm not sure if I'm just overreacting and would love to hear your thoughts. I don't think you're overreacting at all. I hate that. If someone said to me they just, like, don't like female creatives at all, I'd be like, okay, so you're sexist. What do you mean? I just don't connect with any women unless I can have a romantic or sexual relationship with them. Get a grip. Get a grip on reality. I can't. I hate that. Yeah, you should be able to connect with and value women and their contributions beyond the sexual and what they can provide for you. That's ridiculous and insane. There are so many, like, brilliant and inspiring women creating all types of content across the board. Okay. There's no such world we live in where, like, men do one thing and women do another. Like, there are women in every single category you could fucking think of. You know, if you like science stuff, there's women making science videos. If you're into social commentary, if you're into comedy, if you're into whatever, there are women in all of these categories of things, right? There should be women out there that you like and that you think are cool, that you like the stuff that they make, the stuff that they're producing. If you, honest to God, can look at someone in their face and say, no, there are no women out there that I like the content of unless they are half naked, you don't like women. You don't. And that's how I see it. So I would be very concerned by this personally. That's probably not the answer you wanted to hear, but that is what I feel in my bones. I just, that seems insane to me to be like, yeah, there's just no women out there that I connect with. I love comedy, but women aren't funny. I love watching science videos, but not from women. Even if they say all the same things as the men do, like it, something's not sitting right there with me. There, you should be able to list out some women that you enjoy and respect and admire beyond the ones that are of service to you in some way. That's bare minimum, isn't it? That's like when people go up to men on the street with like a microphone and they're like, quick, name five women you're inspired by. And they're like, my mom. And it's like, okay, women that are not related to you, quickly, let's go. It's like, it's a very easy ask. It's a very easy ask. It's a very easy question. And I think if people don't have an answer to that, if they, honest to God, cannot think of any women they admire or think are cool beyond the ones that are related to them or provide them with some kind of sexual gratification, that sucks. That really sucks. I hate that. I'll be real and honest with you. I do not like that. So I don't think you're overreacting at all. Hello, Maddie. I have been going through it recently with self-esteem and how I perceive myself. Not that I think I'm very ugly, but that I feel like I'm just very mid. And for whatever reason, I feel like that's not good enough. Like being average is wrong somehow. Like the idea that I'm not a 10 out of 10 baddie feels like a sin I've committed, which obviously doesn't make sense and is like maybe arguably a manifestation of internalized misogyny. Women really shouldn't be primarily valued for looks. Like we literally all know this. Nonetheless, I've been struggling with a lot of mid bitch with a flat ass kind of self-talk. I've brought this up with my boyfriend who more or less says that I don't need to delude myself that I'm top echelon of attractiveness and that I need to get over my hangups of beauty. But he also assures me that he finds me very attractive. This feels like a tough wake-up call, and this talk I had with him hurt my feelings, even if on some level I think he's right. If my ideas of adhering to beauty are making me sad, should I give up on them? Do I need to adhere to the delusion of being a 10 out of 10 if I know on some level that that's just not true? At what point do our ideas of beauty / the idea that all women are beautiful starts hurting us? I want to both be like the most gorgeous woman on earth, delusional, and for it to be normalized that women don't need to especially value their own attractiveness. Do you have any advice? It's just such a sticky situation. Any insight is so valued. So I have a few things to say. I think the first thing that I want to say is just like, what is your definition of what is beautiful? Because is your definition of beautiful in alignment with what the societal definition of beautiful is? Because I feel like most of us do not feel that way and do not feel that we see the world or experience people's beauty in the same way that like the societal standard tells us we should. I think most of us don't feel like we agree with that or see the world that way. And I think most people, 99.99999% of people do not match the societal beauty standard. None of us are 10 out of 10s if that's what we're going off of, right? The people that are the people that have money and they can get plastic surgeries and shit. It's such a small percentage of the population that actually looks that way and that fits the societal standard of what beauty is. And we could acknowledge that those women are beautiful, even the ones that do fit the societal standard, but that doesn't mean that those of us that don't fit the societal standard are not beautiful. But in the same vein, I hear what you're saying of like, well, why do we even have to value attractiveness at all? Which is something that I have definitely thought about before. I guess how I see it and like formatted in my own brain is like, yes, we do not need to value attractiveness as it pertains to societal beauty standards. I still value feeling beautiful, looking beautiful through my own lens, right? So for me, looking beautiful means having long nails. It means having vibrant purple hair. It means wearing the funkiest outfit that I can come up with in my closet. It means wearing clothes that show off my body instead of hiding it. It means dressing to accentuate my curves, to show off the fact that I am plus size instead of just putting myself in a paper bag and being like, have a good day. These are things that make me feel beautiful, that make me feel attractive, are these things that are considered societally attractive, not all of them. I mean, I actually think that there's someone out there that hates every single thing that I just listed, right? There's someone out there that really doesn't like purple hair. There's someone out there that finds really long nails tacky. There's someone out there that hates the way I dress. There's someone out there that, you know, has a problem with plus size women dressing to show off their bodies. You know, like these are the things that I associate with beauty, that I associate with attractiveness through my lens. And my lens is really not in alignment with what societal beauty is. So if I was judging myself through the lens of what is societally beautiful, yeah, I probably would feel fucking mid too. But I don't agree with that. I don't agree with holding those made up values for what people should look like. I don't believe in holding these like made up set of standards to be important when they're not things that I agree with. I don't agree that wrinkles are bad and they make you look ugly and we need to be getting all of this Botox and plastic surgery to get rid of them. I don't believe that one body size or type is superior to the other. I don't believe that people have to look one certain way in order to be beautiful. That's not the way that I experience the world. That's not the way that I perceive people. It's not how my brain works. Some people go through life and they feel like their perception of beauty is in complete alignment with the beauty standard. And that's fine. It sounds fucking miserable, but that's fine if you feel that way. But for most of us who don't feel that way and who don't feel like we are in alignment in the way we perceive ourselves or in the way we perceive other people, like, you don't have to value those things. You don't have to value the societal standard for what beauty looks like or give yourself an arbitrary assessment of value based on those standards, right? Also, I think ranking people on a 1 to 10 scale is crazy to me. Every time I see those videos appear on my like Instagram Reels page of people being like, what would you rank yourself? And then they show the photo to the next person and be like, what would you rank her? I hate those videos. If somebody came up to me and asked me to rank myself, I wouldn't even know what to say. I'd be like, rank myself? Am I fucking 14? Like, I'm a 26-year-old adult woman. I'm not going to rank myself. What the fuck is that about? Like, I'm not something to be ranked. Are you asking me if I find myself attractive? Yes, of course I do. What do you want me to rank myself for? Rank myself against what? Against the beauty standard? Against what other people find attractive? Against what you find attractive? I don't give a shit. I give a shit about what I find attractive and what makes me feel good. I'm not ranking myself against anything. And so, I don't know. I kind of feel like throw the whole thing away. Throw the whole thing away and start new. So in my brain, it's like, yeah, we don't need to value attractiveness in the way that we've been fed attractiveness. We are allowed to value it in the way that makes the most sense and feels the best for us. And if you have a better, nicer way to see the world, then I think that you should choose that, you know? And I would rather live in my world, in the way that I see and perceive beauty. I think it's a much kinder, sweeter world to live in. And I only wish that everyone could live in the world that exists inside my head. Because it's really nice up here. It's really nice and sweet. And it's full of sweetie hearts. And that's that for me. You don't need to value societal expectations for what attractiveness is. And you don't need to judge yourself based on those standards either. Like, that just seems so upsetting, right? Like, I don't even want to sit here and assess how I would be ranked in terms of societal beauty. Like, I know I'm not the beauty standard, but I'm fucking hot. I'm beautiful. Like, there's no question about it. Just because I'm not the image of the beauty standard doesn't mean that I'm not beautiful. And that would be insane to sit here and call myself mid because I'm not this narrow image of beautiful. We're all mid if that's the standard, except for the people that have money. Like money. So anyways, my take is throw the whole fucking thing away. Throw all of it away. All of it. Every last bit of it. We don't need to be attractive in the way that they want us to be attractive. You can be attractive in the way that you want to be attractive. And you can feel good about that in yourself. And you can call yourself hot. And you can feel good about how you look, all without comparing yourself to what you should look like or what they want you to look like. You're not mid just because you don't look the way that they want you to look. How do you want to look? What are the things that make you feel beautiful? Go dye your hair purple. Like, maybe that'll help. I'm kidding. But you know what I mean? It's up to you. It's not up to them. You don't have to value their opinion, the societal opinion. That's not something you need to take to heart if it's not something that you're resonating with. None of us fucking resonate with it. So don't take it to heart. Stop telling yourself that you're mid because you don't fit into this 0.01% of, you know, beauty. It's ridiculous. All right. That's the last submission that I'm going to take today. I've got to edit this ep because I'm recording it Thursday night. So I've got a lot of editing ahead of me for the night. Thank you guys for hanging out. Reminder that the Spain trip is going live very soon, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you're watching this on August 25th, if you want to come to Spain, if you want to come to Ibiza and Mallorca with us, fucking come along. We're going to have a very fun summer. And with that, I will see you guys next week. Bye.